Well, good morning. Let me check something. I'm not Kevin Meek. I'm Doug Pierce, and I'm the pastor of congregational care here at Trinity. And let me put a plug in for that before we get started. There are times when things are going on in your lives that I know nothing about till maybe after it happens. Feel free to call me anytime, either at church or my cell phone number is on the church directory. Just feel free to call me anytime. My wife gets upset with me because I sleep with my phone. So I sleep with her too. But I started dating my wife in 1964. That's probably before most of you were born. How many were born before 64? Anybody? Oh, there's a few of you, yeah. Oh, I see those gray hairs. Yeah. And when we were dating, I gave her a high school picture. I graduated in 1962, and I gave her a high school picture of myself. And you know, it was that famous pose looking out into space. I was going to put it up on the screen, but the truth of the matter is, ladies, you couldn't handle it. The truth is, I was a hunk. But as the years have gone on, I've become a chunk. We're going to be talking about change. And that's one thing that changes, isn't it? Us. As we get older, we change. And we change in some fantastic ways, some good, some bad. But life is full of changes, isn't it? Everything about life is change. Change is inevitable. It doesn't change. We change. You can tell that by simply looking at your neighbor, you know, your husband, your wife, your children. We all change. The color of your hair changes. Now, my wife isn't here this morning, so I can pick on her. I have no idea what her hair color is. But I like it, and that's good. That's good. Our very culture has changed through the years. Everything about technology has changed. I use an iPad to preach from. I took it out of Apple Store last year when I came here. And it's changed. The minute I walked out, it changed. Technology is so fantastic, and I'm very thankful for that. A man once said, "We live in a throwaway society." And we do, don't we? But you know what? Unfortunately, our relationships are like that sometimes as well. Life is full of changes. There is a psychologist back in the early 1900s by the name of Thomas Holmes, very famous in the psychology field. But he came up with 43 different changes that causes stress. Now, I know none of you in here get stressful, but he created these 43 changes which created a scale in which we can look at changes. Some of these are positive. Some of these are negative. Everything in life is either a positive change or it's a negative change. Everything in life we do either well with or we don't do so well with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks to that matter because it talks about everything either being temporary or eternal, changing or changeless. On the back of the page, you have some notes that I put down the sermon outline for. And on that is a key thought that I want you to grab. And if you don't get anything else from this message this morning, I want you to take this away with you. The key to handling change in your life is to focus on things that last. Before we can understand how to keep our mind's eye on focus, we need to look at change and how you and I respond to it. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you respond to change? You ever give any thought to that? I mean, something's new is introduced into your life. A new child, a new job, a new car, a new house. Things change all through our lives. Your children get older, they move out. That's change. How do you handle change? Well, there are three different ways we can handle change. The first is to fight it. Now, I don't know about you, but I never fight change. Well, that's not true. I think we fight change all the time, don't we? Many of us look at changes in our lives and we see that they're bad. But in reality, change isn't bad. It's just different. Ralph Naber wrote a book several years ago called The Seven Last Words of the Church. Do you know what they are? We've never done it that way before. We've never done it that way before. And folks, you know, the older I get, I've noticed the more I like things to stay the same. I think it's that way because the older I get, I want more stability in my life. And I'll bet you there's a number of you that feel the same way. Many of us like that. We don't like change because it causes us to be flexible. And I don't know about you, I'm not very flexible anymore. Maybe it's the chunk instead of the hunk. I don't know. We grumble, we complain. But then when change comes, we ignore it. We don't fight it, maybe. We ignore it. We run away from it. We retreat back into our old mode, thinking things are going to be okay. Because we don't want to focus on the new, we want to focus on the past. Many of us have the tendency to pray that yesterday will become tomorrow. And the whole world is like that. Now, I could use this example upstairs and they understood it. I'm not sure you will, but because of your age, but you ever watch the I Love Lucy show? Or the Lone Ranger, or Father Knows Best, or the Jetsons. They've made a comeback. Because old folks like me like standards. We like the old shows. We don't like change. Because we have a tendency to look back instead of towards the future. But honestly, you know, without change, folks, we'd get bored. That's why we run from it. Secondly, we need to realize that change, that what it is for certain. How do you deal with change? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 deals with that question when it says this. So fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our security is based on the Word of God, on this very book, this book that we're told to hide in our heart, the Scriptures. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 or 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I are going to change. Life around us is going to change. Our jobs are going to change. Our families are going to change. Our pastor has changed. But beloved, Jesus Christ will never change. Everything that he is now, he will be in the future. Let me give you three basic elements of how he will never change. First, God's love for you is consistent. Now, I'm probably the only one in this room that sins. But I know that when I do sin, Jesus forgives me. If you don't believe it, try it sometime. Well, maybe you better not. God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. He died on that cross of Calvary so that he would forgive your sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When I have a bad hair day, and I know that's hard to believe, the Bible teaches me that God still loves me and cares for me. God's love hasn't changed. God's love is not based upon my mental attitude. It's based upon grace. His grace. The grace that he gave us from the cross of Calvary. So God's love is consistent. I love the words from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Let me read them to you. They'll be up on the screen behind me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. What a passage. Our security is in him, not the things of this earth. And second, we need to realize that God's word is stable. It never changes. Isaiah chapter 40 is a passage that was quoted in the New Testament even, but let me go back to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 6. It says, a voice cries, and I said again, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the grass fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The word of our God will stand forever. God's word has managed to stay up with the times. I came across this illustration while I was preparing this sermon. There was a French philosopher by the name of Voltaire. Many years ago, he said from his house that he lived in, the Bible in 100 years from this day will be an obsolete book. The neat thing is, did you know that the house that he said those very words from is now the British Bible Society's headquarters. God's got a sense of humor. The Bible is one book that will never change from Genesis through Revelation. Oh, we change translations. We change words sometimes to bring it up to the modern English. But the original language never changes. And then third, God's purpose is online. We can listen to all the people who forecast the future economically and demographically, the different trends that you and I go through in life. and they all change. Now, this is before your time, but back in the 60s, a popular clothing for men, well, for girls too, was bell-bottom pants. Do you remember those? Any of you? They were ugly. Being in the Marine Corps, when I saw bell-bottom pants, it reminded me of the Navy. And you know how the two of them don't get along. But can you imagine bell-bottom pants on this body? It just doesn't fit. Folks, things change. But everything God does doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's all moving to the final end. The fact that the Bible says that we can have great peace. Psalm 112, verse 6 tells us this: "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He will not be afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord." But verse 8 says this: "His heart is steadily, and he will not be afraid." Do you realize that the Bible teaches, and I know you do, that he's coming again? He's coming again. In fact, between these covers, there's more written on the second coming of Christ than there was on the first coming. He's coming again, and that's going to settle all the problems when he comes. But in the meantime, we can be reassured he's in control. And we're right on course, folks, if we keep our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our hearts focused on him. I can remember singing a song years ago, and it went like this: "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." This comes from a poem written by W.B. Knight. And the poem went like this: "In the center of the will of God, here I take my stand. There can be no second causes. They must come from his dear hand. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Our life is in good hands, not the Allstate hands, but the hands of God. And that gives me assurance. Beloved, God has a plan for your life and for mine. In fact, I love what the Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I anointed you, appointed you a prophet to all nations." The safest place in the world is being in the center of God's will. So today you might be going through some problems, and I have no idea what they are, but he does. Today there might be some issues in your life where you can't see the end of the tunnel. But there is an end, and God already has it figured out. You're feeling perhaps that life is out of control. Beloved, keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your heart focused. Put your whole body in his hands. That's the only way we can go, is to rely upon him. And then last of all, knowing based on what we know about how to handle change and what never changes, let's look very quickly at God's plan to handle it. Let me give you three basic statements that are very crucial to your success and mine for our sense of well-being. The first statement is this: I can handle change effectively when I am biblically value-driven. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may be discerned what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Why is the scripture telling us that we should not be conformed to the pattern of this world? Because it's changing. And once you conform to the world, you have a hard time coming back. You take your eyes off the Lord. And it's hard to get your eyes refocused. The best way is to stay focused. Get into His Word every day. Think like He thinks. Pray to Him. Go to Him. That's why we need to be students of this book. We need to get into it every day. That's why we need to have our roots deepened in church life, in each other's lives. Invest in someone. Share your heart with them. Allow them to become part of your family. So many people feel that this book is so foreign, but that's because they say they can't understand it. Well, we've made it easy for you. In this church, we use the English Standard Version. It's an up-to-date modern version. It's one of the best, if not the best, translations I've ever seen. And it's readable. So sit down and read it. Acknowledge it. Hide it in your heart. But, Pastor, I can't understand it. That's because you don't want to. We've taken all the these and thous out of it. It's God's Word just the same. Hide it in your heart. What the neat thing is, this book talks about the future. And you know what, folks? I've read the last chapter, the last page, the last few sentences, and we win. We win. We're on the winning team. We're not just all state or all city or all district. We're all eternity. We win. So therefore, everything we do should be biblically driven. The Bible tells us how to make plans, how to run our lives, how to look to Him. How important that is. The second thing, I can handle change effectively when I'm attitudinally, flexibly sensitive. Having the right attitude is so very, very important. Therefore, keep your heart, your mind, your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man many years ago that wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He was imprisoned for most of his life, beaten, stoned, left for dead. But his attitude was right. And in Philippians chapter 4, he said this, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Take that verse and hide it in your heart. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him. What an attitude he had. The flexibility that we saw in his life, we should emulate in our lives. That's why Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. My wife called up this morning at 8. I got here early because I was preaching, and normally we drive together, but when I'm preaching, we don't. And she was all upset because the car wouldn't start. The battery was dead. What a bummer. Battery. Ooh. It's the end of the world, right? No, it's a battery. So I told her to stay home and turn on television and watch me there. Hi, Ruth. We're not doing it. But so often we let the things of the world take us down in life, don't we? If your car changes your attitude, you need to change your attitude. If your kids take you down and change your attitude, you need to change your kid. Well, no, you can't do that. But you need to change your attitude. You need to stay focused on Him. Many of us look at the bad things that happen in our lives and we want to change churches. We want to change jobs. We want to change wives, husbands, you name it. No, stay focused. Stay focused. Keep your heart on God. Deal with it. And then last of all, I'd like to share that I can handle change effectively when I am intimately, spiritually based. Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 says this, "Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, so walk with Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in love." But then verse 8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Folks, change is coming. I mean, just look at me. I have changed so much in just the 53 years we've been married, let alone the 75 years on this life, on this earth. Your kids grow up. They leave your house. They get married, but if your life is based on your kids, that's kind of a bummer. If your life is built on your kids and your home, then your priorities are in the wrong place. You need to have your life built on this book, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life should be built on an intimate spiritual walk with the Lord. Do you remember the Karate Kid, the movie Karate Kid? I thought that was neat. I never liked it when it came out. But I did like one scene when Ralph Macchio went to Mr. Miyagi and he said, "Sensei, what is the basics of life?" And in the little 5'4" stature of Mr. Miyagi, he said, "Breathing, breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out." That's the basics of the Christian life. Breathe in, faith. Breathe out, repentance. Years ago, the man that founded Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, called that spiritual breathing. Breathe in, faith. Breathe out, repentance. Folks, we're going through some changes here at Trinity, and we will be for the next 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer. Who knows? God knows. That's okay. God's still in control. And I believe that as we go through these changes, as we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, our church is going to become stronger, more God-focused, more God-driven. I believe that God right now has got the right pastor. I think He's even picked him out now. I have no idea who he is, but God knows. All we need to do is pray and stay focused. I used to use in my old church in Pueblo because many of them were farmers and understood the illustration of putting blinders on a horse. Now, when I was a young man, 4 years old, I used to go up to my grandmother's in New York State, and we would go across the street to Mr. Green's farm, and he had one horse that later became Glue. But they used to take and they put blinders on, and I asked him, "Mr. Green, why do you have blinders on that horse?" And he said, "So we'll go in a straight line. Because once you take the blinders off, the horse's head wanders." And that's just like we are as Christians. We need blinders looking to the heavens, keeping our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Change is coming in your life, in my life, in the life of the church. Change is good because I believe it strengthens us. So be encouraged. God is still in control. Let's pray.